Improv.
Actually, can I open just with a joke?
Sure.
Can I start with my Batman impression?
Yeah. Wait, Christian Bale Batman or?
You'll see.
Okay.
Okay. What's up, everybody? This is our new podcast. I'm just kidding. All right, now you intro.
That's pretty good. Very, very on topic. How's it going, guys? This is the Trade Waiters podcast, where we review comic books in collections. A trade is individual issues that are collected together for cheaper reading. For people like us that don't buy every single individual issue, and we can just buy in trades. My name is Daniel Natividad. With me is my co-host, Nathan Natividad.
We are brothers and lovers. So we don't have any friends that talk about comics, so we figured we'd talk about comics,
but we have
to our friend this computer screen.
Can you imagine,
tell like, it all about
that? This is like a hobby that you couldn't talk to anyone about, and you can just, you're just alone.
Yep.
But
that'd be bad.
Is that what happened with you? You like made me get into comics by getting me a gift. You got me Death in the Family from
Death
Scott
of
Snyder.
The Family.
Death of the Family, right. For Christmas. I didn't ask for a comic book.
Nope.
And you're just like, hey, here's this. I'm like,
wow. That was absolutely my plan.
That's like the one, that's one of the gifts where like you didn't know you want it. And I'm glad that you got me something I didn't ask for.
You didn't read it for a while.
I did sleep on it. I was in like college. It was like, I didn't read it for like a year at least. I think I came back for the summer. That's when I started reading it.
Yeah. And then I made you go to a Comic-Con, I believe.
I think I wanted to. Okay. I can't remember. Yeah. I went and I was like, I've watched the movies.
Yeah.
Exactly. You were like spending so much time at the long boxes of these back issues. And
not even
I was like, oh, this is boring.
Yep. So.
Anyway.
Yep. So I made you read Death of the Family. And then I knew that that would probably be the one that gets you into it. If
yeah,
you are going to get into
up.
It at all. And I knew that.
Oh, she cares on this? Is this a family show?
Yeah, you can curse. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
So
someone tells us not to.
I heard a joke the other day.
Another joke. Here we go.
What do you call two white dudes in a room? A podcast.
Okay. I was about to say a podcast.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So.
What book do we got this week?
So you chose our book today, and it is the first trade from...
I didn't force this on you.
No, I think it's a good... I wanted to start with Batman. I just didn't know what Batman I wanted to start with. I was going to choose something stupid.
Like what?
It was Batman Kings of Fear or something like that. It's
never
something that I already had. So
something you just like haven't gotten to and need an excuse to do it.
Yeah, basically. But you said Tom King's run, and I think it's a good start because... that just ended not too long. It's on issue 91 now. He's been off it for just a couple issues. And this is really the only Batman run that I've read in full.
Right.
Basically, from number one.
Have you been keeping up with it? Like the James Tynion issues?
Yes. It's okay.
I meant to like cancel it, but like I hadn't gone back. But I just kind of wanted to have just the Tom King stuff. But yeah, this is a Batman Rebirth Volume 1. It includes the Rebirth issue and issues 1 through 6, of the DC, event. It's not a reboot. They made it pretty clear. But do you remember when this came out?
Renumbering. 2015?
2016. Still, like 4 years ago.
That's so crazy. What a different time.
We're so young.
Less viruses outside.
Way less viruses. Have you had more time to like read?
Absolutely.
You've been doing like a lot of that.
I've read a ridiculous amount.
Yeah. A lot. It's been good.
And I was able to squeeze this in.
I think this is something that we needed for our comic book habits, just to read all the shit that we'll never have time to read normally.
Yep, exactly. It was a good way to purge all of my unread stuff.
Exactly.
Hundreds of dollars
in reading
and just unread stuff. But I'm getting through it, which is good. So yeah, we are going to just jump in and talk about the story that transpired during the trade and then just kind of what we think about it. I guess we'll just kind of go issue by issue.
Should we do like non-spoiler kind of things and then jump and then do spoilers, or just kind of like just jump into it? You know what I mean?
I don't care.
All right, so non-spoiler review. You should probably read it. It's really good.
It is really good.
All right, spoilers.
Would read, and I did read twice.
Would read, yeah, pretty good.
I haven't reread anything in a while.
I rarely reread things. So coming back to this, like, and looking back on how crazy the run has been and, like, how simple it, like, started, you know? Mm-hmm. And just kind of raised a lot of questions from, like, wait, didn't this happen later? Like, and so I almost want to reread all of it, but I also don't. Like, I want to reread it just so it, binging it would be a different experience for sure. Mm-hmm. And I would understand it probably. But that takes so much time.
Yeah.
85
is a lot of time. I'll tell you something I totally forgot about is Duke.
Yeah.
I totally forgot his character.
Because he come up like a lot throughout the run.
No, I don't even know what happened to him. I was like,
well, he's just kind of around. No,
he was on Batman and the Signal, which is a different series, right?
I thought it was like a one shot. Was he in Detective Comics, like that team that Batman built? Maybe he's on the Outsiders now.
Could be.
This is something we should probably know before coming into.
No, I think we should just speculate. Okay. But yeah, I totally forgot about Duke, and he plays an interesting part in this whole series. But I guess the overarching idea that kicked off this first trade, Batman. I didn't read the Rebirth issue actually, so I forget what's in there. I know Calendar Man's in there.
Wow.
But the actual trade, it's basically about Batman. It's a new Batman. It's a new run.
He's back.
He's back, still being Batman. And basically what happens is he has this like life or death scenario where he's trying to stop a plane full of people that went down for some reason. And he's about to die trying to save all these people. And I think that was a really cool sequequence. And then
I remember crying like that first time. I got all teared up.
It's a heavy kind of thing.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
But basically it gets saved by two Superman-esque characters, Gotham and Gotham Girl. And then it's just, the trade's just Batman, Batmaning around while there's Gotham and Gotham Girl doing their kind of thing.
That is, and then there's, you know, other arcs in it that are kind of minor.
So let's crack open this Rebirth issue.
Yeah, so this one was King and Snyder writing, and then Mikhail Janin, I believe. He's awesome. He's throughout the, the run. So I can't talk.
So walk me through this.
So it's like each like other page is like a day of the week, and it's like you're like, oh, Duke shows up at Wayne Manor
because of like a Calendar Man theme, right?
Calendar Man, like, and then Batman's like fighting Calendar Man. This isn't a bad design, like the Roman numeral tattoos like around his head.
Yeah,
it's a lot better than the actual, like,
makes him a little bit more serious.
It's like the abbreviation of the months, like it's like January, Jan, Feb, Mar, and it just, that was stupid. This is a little bit better.
Is that what it was before?
I've seen it like that, and it's pretty dumb.
And he's got some big guns.
So yeah, he's like fighting him, and he's trying to stop something they called like the spores or something. I don't know what that is. I guess it's affecting the weather or something. And blah blah blah. There's Gordon, and then so on Monday it starts in spring, and then Tuesday it's summer.
Oh,
it's like 137 degrees out.
He's doing pull-ups.
He's doing pull-ups off of, you know, Wayne Industries like building or whatever, because he does that. The helipad.
He's real sweaty though. What if he falls?
There's panels that his hands are sweaty, and then he like slips and just grabs it with the other hand.
Oh, that's good. Batman. Smart man. That's why he's Batman.
So I can't remember if the series. Because this ends, like, and it nothing's really resolved at the end of the Rebirth issue, and so they just kind of start the story, and then I can't remember if they come back to it in the series. Do you remember?
I don't remember seeing Calendar Man at all. No.
Okay, it's not just me.
It might be on purpose too.
Maybe. So it's weird. So it's Wednesday and it's fall, and he's like older. He's like significantly older. And so he's like aging as fast as like the seasons are. So all, they go through all the seasons like in like a week. And then he's basically going throughout like a lifetime in a week. And so it's kind of weird.
Calendar Man has or everybody?
Calendar Man. No, he's the only one that's getting old. So it's okay, like Wednesday cool. for them, but he's like 80 here. It's cool. weird.
Batcave shot.
Gotta have Batcave some shot. This is a great Batcave shot. Like, that's probably the coolest, like, all his, like, vehicles right here.
It's probably the most, I guess, kind of accurate that you could, I guess, realistic-looking design, because all the other ones that I've seen, there's all sorts of, like, Batcave shots, and there's, like, all sorts of, like, weird stairways that go up into different levels, and then there's the Big Penny. Is the Big Penny in here?
No, the Joker's card's big there. Joker the card. Penny's dumb.
The Penny's awesome. You can't have a Batcave
without. And then they got the dinosaur. Like
the Tumbler Batmobile, which is.
Oh, damn. I didn't even see that from the Dark Knight shit.
It looks like they got a bunch of different ones.
I think that's like the one from the 89 series. Maybe. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So Easter egg, pretty good. So yeah, then we keep going, and then like Duke's there. I guess Batman invites him there. Did you ever read We Are Robin? Like the first appearance of Duke?
No, I never read that one.
It's okay. I got into like Robin, and so I was buying like all that stuff when it's coming out, and it's just like a group of kids that are, you know, wanna be Robin because Robin's like this kid who's a vigilante, and so they have like, you know, red and yellow themed outfits that they wear, and he's kind of like the leader or whatever.
Duke is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're fighting like basically Joker wannabes. Like I don't even think they're henchmen or anything.
Interesting. This is because that I remember that starting around Rebirth, right? Is that going on at this point?
It was before. I think it ended like right around this.
Okay. Interesting.
So
that's why Duke's here? He was We Are Robin?
Yeah. I guess he showed initiative or something. I don't know.
Well, that's good.
There's probably a push by DC. There's, as I'm rereading this, I'm like, oh, King probably didn't actually want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably something that he had to do, like have Duke in there. So what do you think of this suit? It's like all yellow and black.
It's, his suit?
Yeah.
Like, I think it works well.
Yeah, it's okay. It's pretty cool. I don't know about like, I don't know if you noticed like the lens on his helmet is like a bat. So you really like
that. I'm a big fan of that actually.
I don't know. There's already one in his chest. You know what I mean? And it's like his motorcycle helmet. I don't know.
I think they saw an opportunity and tried it and I really respect it.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. It's not terrible.
But let's keep going. Let's get through this Rebirth one. So Thursday, winter.
Thursday's winter.
It's all cool.
And, you know, Batman's being cool. He's got 4 minutes to go plant these bombs or whatever. And he takes, like, 6 minutes because he doesn't have an oxygen tank. And because he's Batman, his lungs are just better than, you know...
I would imagine.
Anatomy.
Yeah.
And takes, like, 6 minutes or something. And we got... we're actually...
He's underwater.
We're actually not trade waiters that have the individual issues, but... So he plants his bombs and he's fine. Kafoom! We got that onomatopoeia. And yeah, I guess I don't know what that does, what exploding that thing does. I guess it stopped whatever Calendar he was doing.
Friday, spring.
Yeah, so it's Friday, it's spring, and then it's like this old shriveled up Calendar Man, and he starts crawling out of the mouth, and it's like a snake, like, I don't know what they call that, he's shedding his skin.
Molting?
Yeah, that's probably a better word.
This feels more like a hermit crab coming out of his own mouth.
Do they do that?
No. I don't know. I don't know enough about crabs, but this feels like more molting than shedding his skin.
Yeah, and so then he's like young again. So then like the week starts over or whatever. It's kind of fun, but I just don't get it. You know what I mean?
That's a lot of Tom King's run.
It's very, yeah.
A lot of it is just like... A weird trippy thing is happening that's like pretty cool and probably very symbolic, but I don't really get it.
Yeah, like it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but you still like appreciate it because you can tell it's like well thought out.
Yeah.
And then Batman and Duke are just kicking a tree talking about Calendar Man, and they don't knock it down. Lame. Then, you know, Alfred throws an avocado down like a hole when bats eat it. I think there's an avocado at the beginning of the issue.
Oh, yeah, right there.
So.
Okay, nice.
Fun stuff.
Wraps up. So the Rebirth things, the whole Rebirth thing was interesting because it was very clearly like Geoff Johns did a rebirth with Green Lantern, and Geoff Johns also did a rebirth with Flash.
Like prior to this?
Prior to New 52. So like Green Lantern Rebirth is its own like series, and the Flash Rebirth is its own series.
And what was the purpose of that?
I don't remember Flash Rebirth. I think I've read it, but the Green Lantern Rebirth was to basically kind of retcon some dumb stuff that was going on with Green Lantern, and so to kind of spring it forward to like a better series. That was like the start of his run, was Green Lantern Rebirth.
Okay.
And he basically retconned the idea that the Green Lantern power ring, doesn't work on yellow. So he retconned that so that now that there's... It was actually a really good explanation, too.
Did he retcon the thing where Guy Gardner can't like be hurt by wood or something?
That was...
Or is that still his weakness?
Yes. Well, no. So the whole wood thing...
Was that all the Green Lanterns?
No. It was only the first ever Green Lantern, which was Alan Scott.
Oh, that's right.
Right. And at that point, there wasn't a Green Lantern corpse. It was just him. He was using magic, and that Green Lantern was only using like magic. And then his only
explains
weakness
like the high collar that he had.
Correct. Yeah, it's very campy.
That's why he has.
And then when they renumbered the series, when DC renumbered the series, that's when they introduced Hal Jordan. And then at that point, he couldn't use his. He couldn't use his power ring on anything that was yellow.
That's pretty dumb.
So that went for a while. And then he actually had a really good explanation where he basically explained that the reason that they couldn't use anything on yellow is that parallax was in the power battery. And this is probably... I mean, I know so much about this. We could probably get into it in a different episode.
Bored.
But basically, parallax got out of the power battery, and that's how he explained the reason that they couldn't use it on yellow, because there was... the yellow entity in there. It's really boring. Not really boring. I really enjoyed it.
I agree.
But
anyway,
so we're going to go into the first issue of this.
So 1 through 5 are primarily Tom King, David Finch, and Jordy Belair, and then like various inkers.
It's a killer first team, I think.
Killer. I love David Finch. Dude, he's not on enough stuff.
I don't even know what he's doing like right now.
Some indie thing maybe. Maybe. And then doing like commissions and stuff. He comes back for the story arc called I Am Bane. This one's called I Am Gotham. And I don't know if you went to that Comic-Con in Phoenix where he was there. Do you remember that?
Well, I was probably there, but I didn't.
Didn't notice. Yeah, so that was like one of the only people that
these
I like, recognized. Yeah, these are signed.
By Finch?
1 and 2 are signed by David Finch. That's his signature 2017.
I figured it would have been super busy.
It was, there's like a bit of a line. He's doing commissions, and then I was just waiting there watching him, and it's unreal. Just watching him draw.
Yeah.
And then he's like, he stopped for a second. He's like, all right, signings, and just let me sign.
All right. Cool. Well, that's awesome. I didn't know that
was signed. One of the questions, I like complimented like how insane Bane was in that story arc, of course, and because I think that was the most recent thing that he did at the time. And then I asked him, I'm like, hey, how much freedom did Tom King give you as far as designing Gotham and Gotham Girl? And he was like, I basically like had all creative privileges, basically. Like he designed like everything. I think they just need to be a Gotham and a Gotham Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So these designs, these costumes are like all him.
That's cool.
Which I think is dope.
I think Tom King's really good about that with a lot of the artists that he works with. He's very like vocal about it on like Twitter and stuff, that he just like, he has like all the ideas set in place, but as far as putting it on the page, it's just like Batman fighting, you know. Batman fights Gotham.
Right.
But
and then he's got that thing where he kind of like sees the art of the artist and then kind of writes that way, you know, that fits the artist.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell because each arc is kind of a different artist, and you can kind of tell that it kind of changes pace based off of that.
Yeah.
It's all incredible artists on Batman, but there's kind of a shift.
Yeah.
So
this is the first issue, and it opens up basically with somebody on a plane, and it's just like kid that's on a plane, very nice and vulnerable.
I thought it was Robin or something.
I thought it was like little Brucey Wayne, because you see this girl with like a pearl necklace, and I'm like, oh, this must be, you know, a flashback or something. but it turns out it's
too
not.
Much into that.
I guess so. Why? I mean, why would it be a girl with pearls?
Yeah,
I feel like that's an exclusive Martha Wayne thing. But
and then on the plane, and then that. Oh, okay. So the kid's on the plane. All right, yeah. I didn't make that connection.
Yeah. So the next page, you see a shot of the bat plane, or not the bat plane, just a normal plane, and then the bat signal, and then that transitions into
super lane plane,
a classic Commissioner Gordon and Batman on the roof, and they're basically talking about some stuff, but. What's cool is that you are able to see the plane like get hit by a rocket and it starts to crash down. And
like I think in the background as they're talking, and like you can kind of see it, and you're just waiting for the reaction.
Yep. And as I was reading this, I was like, this is an awesome Gordon too, because he's just so like his, I don't know, his mustache is so meaty.
It's definitely one of the strongest mustaches.
Yeah, he just looks beaten down all the time.
Right. Got it.
So,
have you ever heard of the Batman formula? That I guess it's like this unspoken thing that all the Batman writers like kind of know, and essentially Tom King does not abide by it at all. Like what it is like in the issue, Batman's gotta have like a new gadget, and he also has to like use the new gadget, and then at some point there's gotta be like a double page spread of him like kicking someone in the face or something like that.
Is it like? The start of every new run?
Or just every issue? I think it's like every issue.
No,
like
that's too much.
Yeah, maybe. But I think maybe if we go back, we might see that if we look for it. I don't know all the rules or whatever, but that was something that I've heard.
So they see the plane crash, and then Batman jumps off the building.
Jumps to the rescue.
Gets immediately into the Batmobile, and then immediately starts to get help from Alfred and Duke. You know, he's driving. We see a sweet shot of the Batmobile, which is sort of like a more classic approach. It's very long. It's got the bat face in the front.
Yeah, this is definitely, I don't know, I wouldn't say safe, but it looks good. And I don't think it'd make anyone mad.
Yeah, it looks pretty clean. It doesn't look like it'd be very mobile a lot of time, but yeah. It's comics. Who cares?
Yeah, kind of a sidebar. I don't know if all Batman writers do this, but Tom King does like a thing where they're telling Batman where to go or something like that, or they talk about buildings. It's normally named after like someone that was influential with Batman's history.
Oh yeah,
like it's like
they have like finger.
They expect to come down near the base of Kane Plaza, like one of the creators of
I
Batman.
Love that.
It's awesome.
It's so campy, and they do that all the time. But I think there's another point in this run where they mention Morrison. Which is interesting because he's like still around.
Yeah, I think it's like issue 4 because I remember seeing that. And so he's driving. He goes on a bridge. It's called Robinson Bridge. Do you know who that refers to?
Robinson Bridge?
Yeah.
I don't.
So I looked it up because I was curious. And apparently this guy in like Maryland, he used to dress up as Batman and go to like the children's hospital.
Oh, cool.
Like every week or something to like cheer up kids and stuff like
nice.
That. And I guess one day he was in his Batmobile, whatever. It was just like a black Lamborghini, and he's pulled over like on like a median, and he was trying to fix it or whatever, and like got like sideswiped and ended up dying.
What?
Yeah, like it was in like 2015, so like a year before this came out. So that was kind of like a really cool tribute to that.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it wasn't even a writer; it was just some dude.
I think
like doing good.
That's cool. I mean, I think. All sorts of different Batman icons like that exist outside of comics. So that's cool that he put that in there. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because they always refer to Bill Finger in this. But I don't necessarily know what stuff he wrote, but he did like help create most of what Batman is.
Yeah. So
shoots out of the Batmobile because it's rising or whatever. No, he just drives off the bridge and then shoots
and then
out.
Ejects.
Ejectocito, cuz.
Yep. Duke's like, you need to shoot at this angle at this time. Actually, something that was there, he needed to know where it needed to be and at what time.
Yeah,
and Duke tells him
52 seconds.
Duke tells him 53 seconds, and Batman's like, thank you. And then it goes into 52 seconds later. And so he's there and with his Batmobile, and then he drives off and shoots out of the ejector seat. Great colors with all these, by the way. Like all
I
every
love
single
Jordi
page.
Belair.
The
she does
Gotham,
a lot of good stuff.
The Gotham City is just very orange. Very like industrial, and then like the lake is super green. Like it she has a really good color palette this whole deal.
It helps with the contrast of like, you know, how dark Batman is and his costume is, and so it helps like him pop a little bit more with like this lit city.
Cool. So then another good scene is he's on the plane now, and he's talking to Commissioner Gordon, and he's like trying to talk to him, and Gordon's like, what do you need? I'm trying to evacuate this whole thing. And then he's talking to him, and he's like, wait, where are you? He's like, I'm on the plane. And Commissioner Gordon's like, you're on the plane? Of course you're on the plane.
Of course you're on the plane.
Yeah. I think that's a really funny thing, because it's just like, that was like a minute and a half ago that they were probably talking. Now he's on the plane. So the way that he fixes this is that he is going around the plane and putting these different like booster, like, jetpack things.
Who knows where
booster
they came
pods?
From?
I don't know where they came from. Those are pretty bulky.
That was a problem. But yeah, that's definitely not something you fit
his utility belt group.
Yeah.
So I guess
why didn't he fly up to the plane if he had these boosters on his belt? Exactly.
Because he needs them for the plane.
Because then we can't have a cool ejecto seat.
Yeah.
Seat.
Yeah. So he's putting them on the wings of the plane. You see a cool shot where the kid that we saw in the beginning sees Batman saving everybody.
Right,
but just trucking along, he
starts to drive the plane, basically.
I don't understand how that part works. I guess he's just trying to keep himself on.
I think one like shoots it up and then the other shoots it down or something, so they're able to turn.
So yeah, he's on the plane, he's like hanging on to stuff, and he's steering it. Just believe it, it's fine.
Yeah.
I really like this shot where he's like actually riding the plane. And he's about to land in two buildings, and I'm like, oh, I don't think he's going to clear that.
Issue one, it's over.
Yeah, basically. And he's having this really good dialogue where he's asking Alfred if this would be a good death. And this is where it kind of gets to be pretty heavy, like if Martha and Thomas would be proud. And he's like talking with Alfred, and he's got a lot of really good banter with Alfred. I think Tom King does a great Alfred.
Oh, yeah. There's so much like sarcasm in here that's like really well placed. And yeah, definitely good Alfred.
Yeah. So he's about to...
So he calls to the Justice League, like, I think while he's in the car, but they're all wrapped up with something.
But he manages to steer it away from the impact point, which is just like the middle of a populated plaza. He instead steers it into the lake or a river, whatever this is. And the issue is when it impacts with the water, it'll save everybody inside, but Batman's still going to feel the full force of the crash because he's not inside the plane.
Basically,
my solution, get inside the plane. I don't feel like that'd be super hard.
Well, then how's he supposed to steer it?
Get it to where... I mean, it looks like it's going to clear, you know, pretty well to where he could just get inside the plane.
Wait, he's just going to walk forward to these doors right here?
Dude, he went to each of the different wings
and
put a little booster thing on it.
You know, there's not a lot of space in between these buildings and this water. I think he's justified.
I guess he doesn't know how full this plane is, so if he can't find a seat, and, you know, if he has to get to, like, a middle seat, and that's very awkward because he's got to put his butt in someone's face.
But he gets both armrests, you know?
That's true, yeah. I would want a window seat if I pulled this off. if I pulled off steering a plane.
You'll be the first to know when exactly you're going to die if Batman doesn't save you. That's perfect.
I think it'd be fun if he sits down next to the kid that we see initially, and he just, like, buckles up.
It buckles in.
Yeah. Puts the thing on.
Dipshit, the fucking light.
Yeah.
It's on.
You see that? And so he's hitting the water, but just as it hits the water, you see the plane lift up, and you see these two figures, and we find that that's Gotham and Gotham Girl. Sweet designs. It's kind of like a mixture of Batman and Superman kind of mixed together. It's got
a
like
good description.
It's got like a blue and gold thing. They kind of have like a half cowl that's going on. They both have capes. So I think those are really cool designs.
I love like the like this like dark blue and like that gray, and then just the gold pops like way more on the logo.
Yeah,
it's the same like Superman like
the crest.
Shield, the crest. Or
I
whatever.
Feel like that's a little on the nose,
and then like a Victorian G in the middle.
I like that,
which is dope. That's the best part for sure.
Yeah. But the crest for me is a little bit on the nose, but I guess it
could have been a triangle or something.
It gets the point across, I guess. But
moving forward, they're like inspired by Batman and want to help Gotham or whatever. And so I guess the costumes had some inspiration from him as well.
Where does that rank as like a first issue for you? I haven't read a whole lot of first issues, but I feel like it's really, really well put together.
It's definitely up there. Like I don't know, 80th tier? Did I say that right? It's like it's the upper portion. It's definitely the best of like Rebirth. The rest definitely. Of Rebirth of number ones, I was like,
I don't remember.
Keep reading this?
I don't remember any other, like how any other Rebirth issue started.
I just remember how like disappointed I was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like all these writers I didn't necessarily know, but I was giving everything a chance because it's like the new thing, like mm-hmm. Rebirth, because there's all these new titles or whatever. But this one was definitely cool, and it definitely, like I was skeptical about Tom King because I think the only thing I've read from him was like the Vision, which was cool, but I thought might have been like maybe
he was a
one hit wonder kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Or
he did Grayson.
Yeah, I didn't know that at the time. Did he do all of it? I thought he did like parts. Maybe
he did part of it up to like issue 20 or something. Okay. I never read it, but he was also doing Omega Men before this.
Did you like that?
I liked it. Okay. It was the lowest selling book at the time, I guess.
Yeah.
But the artist and stuff is really good on it. Maybe we'll cover it later.
How are we doing on time? What are we at?
We are at 30 minutes.
Oh, shit.
So we gotta flip through these.
Number two. Yeah, well, we won't explain everything that's going on, but we'll just kind of like touch on major points.
Mm-hmm. So this one's got Grundy.
Solomon Grundy, Gotham. The Gothams are fighting him. And then Batman just kind of watching and has awesome. To intervene because they're not doing good enough. And because Grundy would have killed somebody. So he, you know, teaches them a lesson. He's like, hey, you're good, but be better.
So the idea here is he's watching him the whole time. Not Gotham Girl, just Gotham was fighting Solomon Grundy.
Oh, is she not there?
I don't think so.
I think you're wrong. All right, for sure. Yeah, you're right. She
gets thrown.
She got punched out of the scene.
Okay, cool. He watches them, and then right when he's about to hurt somebody, then Batman intervenes, takes him down. The sweet, body slam thing, a suplex. And he's still trying to get his ideas going about them. Alfred takes him away to be part of a charity event thing that he's doing.
Shindig.
Then it transitions to a scene with Commissioner Gordon kind of sitting in his office, and there's a banker dude, or at least we think he's a banker dude, who comes in, talks to Gordon, and then kills himself in the middle and said that the monster men are coming.
With like a letter opener.
Yes.
He stabbed himself in like the jugular.
And I was like, oh man, the monster men.
Yeah, that was not like a good reminder.
Yeah, I completely forgot. And this whole thing was about setting up the Monster Man, which is super weird. Because I think
it's a really good arc, but just like the MacGuffin or whatever, the thing that moves the story forward was that the Monster Men were coming. That's why all this stuff was happening.
Yeah,
because we didn't talk about the last issue, but the guy who shot the rocket into the plane like killed himself as well. Mm-hmm. I think.
And this guy's so killing himself now.
Right. And so,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if King, like, helped with the Monster Man. I think he helped with the Batman portion, but it's mostly Steve Orlando.
Yeah. It very much felt like he just was able to put himself into this.
This was definitely, like, another thing that DC had to push for, because it was, like, an event that went across, like, most of the Bat books.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it didn't feel like
this arc would be way better if it was just something else, like some cult or something that were doing like these murder suicides.
Yeah.
But no, it's got to be connected to the Monster Man, which doesn't even sound scary. I guess that was an old arc from like the 90s or the 80s or something.
Oh, I didn't know.
That they were trying to bring back.
Gotcha.
But if we continue with the Batman series, we're going to skip that one for sure. Unless
totally
we want to really rip into something.
I don't know.
I'm sure it took a long time to make and all the people worked really hard on it, but
I just don't care. So Batman's part of this charity event, and he decides to leave because he sees the bat signal, probably because some dude just killed himself in Commissioner's office. And so he's putting on his suit, and he brings in Gotham and Gotham Girl to this
rooftop
conversation.
Meeting.
So they're talking about what's going on there. Just kind of a short conversation of what was going on. And then, of course, they turn around, and he's not there. So,
Gordon's like, yeah, that's classic. He does that.
Yep.
And then they're like, what the hell? Like, we can see through buildings. We can see everything, but I couldn't see Batman.
Yeah. So he's clearly figured them out. I think that's an easy way to show, don't tell, that Batman kind of knows how to hide from them or evade them if he wants to.
Yeah, for sure.
And then
there's this interview with, they're kind of, I don't know what you call it. It's a meeting with this dude, Hugo Strange, showing him pictures of himself with different emotions. Oh, let's explain the Psycho Pirate, his effects, probably. You think?
I think you should, because I never really understood him. I guess he can just affect people's
emotions, basically. Emotions, so that comes later.
Mind control.
We're through spoilers. Hopefully anyone that listens has read this through. But yeah, it's like Hugo Strange is in there, and then he has like all these pictures of this dude, and he's like scared, he's happy, he's sad, he's angry, and then he's showing it to this dude. We don't know who this dude is. I don't know. Do you remember seeing him again? Is he one of the suicide bombers or something?
Maybe. Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Okay. That's issue two. But yeah.
So basically, we reveal that Psycho Pirate and Hugo Strange are buying this in some way. So that's kind of what issue two was.
Actually, don't even mention Psycho Pirate as a bit of a spoiler. If you're just kind of like listening, if you didn't read it, just enjoy our description of it.
Yeah, it's completely accurate.
That's way better than
we didn't miss
reading
anything out. So issue three.
Okay, so it's like
this is. So I was a little confused in this. It opens up on a scene that's very reminiscent of Batman's parents getting killed. But it's not Batman. Is that Gotham?
That is Gotham. So it's Gotham and Gotham's parents. Gotham's like a kid and his mugger's like about to like kill his parents, but then at the end of this page, like, Batman like slaps a gun out.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. And then on the next page, it reveals that Batman stops his parents from actually dying.
Right.
So his parents are okay, and then Batman basically tells them to, in the wake of fear, gives you a chance to be brave. Which I think is cool.
Right. It gives you the opportunity to fight fear.
Like, that's a good Batman thing.
Yeah, that's cool. They say that a lot in this arc, and I think that's something that takes away from it.
It comes up multiple times.
And so, of a result of that, Gotham's always scared, and then like his sister's always scared because of what happened, and then that's kind of something they keep telling themselves.
And then you find out that Gotham is, developing a little bit of an obsession with Batman.
Yeah, he's got like posters and shit, like, news clippings.
Mm-hmm. Of the different sightings and
which kind of reflects their, I don't know what you call it, motivations.
Yeah, and then, to just become superheroes in general,
right? And so they start doing good charity work, stuff like that, and then they go to
this is Gotham and Gotham Girl. They become like firefighters. They're giving back to the community. I think they're rich, probably.
Their parents are rich.
And then they get their powers basically by...
they go to some weird country. They say it, probably. And then they ask their parents to wire them like a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And then they come back, and then all of a sudden, these appearances of Gotham and Gotham are coming up. They connect the dots. And then Bruce Wayne is like talking to like his parents throughout this whole thing. Saying, like, trying to figure out who they are, where they came from, and
all sorts of sad stuff.
And then Alfred calls Batman another suicide bomber. Bunch of ads. Snickers.
Snickers ads.
Dude, how many times have you, like... Oh, wait, am I supposed to what?
This is supposed to be a trade, but... I really like the Snickers ad because it gets me every time. I turn
like,
the page
wow,
and I'm like,
"Dude, really changed."
Yeah,
I'm like, "He just came down this bank."
And then I'm like, "Oh, Doomsday just eats a Snickers and becomes Superman. Very easy." But Batman has that quick. He turns his car into a bat cycle.
The bat cycle's in the car. It separates and then he comes zooming out and then it reattaches.
So, do you think he's driving the bat cycle while he's in the car? Like, there's no other way to drive that car.
There's no room to change.
Absolutely
for sure.
Not.
But he does it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does change. So, yeah, he's in his bat suit. And
I think it's that bridge again.
Yeah, so the bridge got bombed, and the bridge is about to collapse.
Oh, no, it's...
That's the idea.
It's a different bridge. All right, a lot of bridges. And then Gotham's holding it up, blah, 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 waiting for Batman.
Gotham World's trying to save some people.
Save the people. And Batman has like the, you know.
Batplane.
Is it called like the Nightwing? Or no, the, not the Nightwing, the Batwing.
No, I think Batwing is like an actual character.
Right, but it, they act, they like make fun of him.
Is
it's
it
like,
here?
Wait, isn't that a plane? They don't say it.
Maybe. Okay, so the Batwing is here.
I would have remembered it.
Basically, the Batwing puts a bunch of magnets or something up.
Holds up on the bridge.
Holds up the bridge. And then he talks to them.
It's like, thank you for helping. Oh, because they're supposed to look for like the next suicide bomber, basically.
Yeah. Well,
and
lo
then,
and behold, something explodes in the background. And he goes to help, and then it turns out, who did it? It was Hugo Strange and the Psycho Pirate.
Yeah, and then... Yeah, in this, like, warehouse or something. I've never seen Psycho Pirate before this. I've never, like, heard of him. It was kind of... sounded dumb when I was, like, reading it.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of, the, like...
He's kind of weird.
He's kind of a big thing... for like this whole arc, but like also Batman's whole run, because I guess Psycho Pirate does a thing to, or like Bane uses him a lot, basically.
I feel like that's kind of like a cop out for like, you know, all these people having these motivations, you know, and just to like move the story forward. Like,
yeah.
Oh, why is this happening? Oh, Psycho Pirate told him to.
Yeah, but then it kind of
works.
It moves it away from like, oh, all the Batman villains figured out how to work together, because we've seen that probably 100 times. It's happening right now in the new series. Or not in the new series, but like in recent non-Tom King Batman, the villains figured out how to work together.
Okay.
It's not a big deal. So then the next issue, how does it open up here?
So
this is where we open up with a bunch of dead Marines, or 27 dead soldiers.
So this isn't... Wait, when is this? So yeah, there's a bunch of dead soldiers, and then Gotham Girl's there. She's very scared because of Psycho Pirate. This dude's about to like looks like jump off a building.
Do you know what this is reminiscent of?
Is it like death or something like that?
No, like this whole scene.
Or
it's All Star Batman. There's a scene where there's like a
All-Star
very
Superman?
Clearly. Sorry, yeah, All Star Superman. Did I say Batman?
Gotcha.
Yeah, All-Star Superman. The Grant Morrison and the other guy. And
Frank Quietly,
yes. So there's a scene where...
There's
so like detailed.
All squinty.
there's a scene in there where like there's like an emo kid and he's about to kill himself. And he's like sort of talking about it. And then you like see Superman's like chest fill up his background.
Uh-huh.
And then he like talks him out of it basically, and that's
what he's doing
here. So I think that's kind of
cool. I
don't
think I caught that the first time.
Yeah, it's like the one of the more like popular pages, I guess, of that run.
You see it all the time on like social media or whatever.
So I think this is a good page to show that like Gotham has good intentions.
Yeah.
I just think it was a really clever way to do it, especially for people that. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, this
pretty
is the time to be
Superman.
Brave or whatever. And then the dude's like, I don't think I can do it or whatever. And then Gotham's like, it's time to be brave. And then he's like, I can do it. And then he pushes this button that blows up that building.
He like developed an app for that. That's on a smartphone.
Yeah, man.
Man, he is really set on killing himself.
Just a click of a button.
He detonated something on a smartphone.
Is this explosion what killed the 27 people? Or is this the thing that's earlier something else?
I could never really connect those dots.
Because it looks like
beginning, it looks like they're framing Gotham Girl, and there's a bunch of dead people there, but they don't look like they got blown up. But when you go to this scene, there's a bunch of soldiers that are there.
Is that the same soldiers or different soldiers?
I don't know.
I'm very confused.
So, it must be the same soldiers.
Coming back to it, I was kind of confused. But
yeah.
And then Gotham Girl's all scared in the Batcave. This good... Alfred moment. He's like, coffee? And she's like, no, because she's like freaking out.
Yeah.
He's like, how about tea?
classic.
Duke tries to comfort her. And then Gotham's like going nuts. He's trying to like fix like this bridge that was like blowing up. Probably just ended up doing more damage.
Yep. So he gets a girder and tries to like keep up the bridge. Gotham Girl's not there because she's freaking out about what she saw. And this is where Duke comes in, tries to comfort her. I guess Gotham throws this girder thing and it hits
the Batmobile.
The Batmobile.
Is that what that's called, a girder?
This? I guess. I think so.
Okay.
And so Batman thinks that Gotham killed all these people, and then Gotham obviously gets mad, which makes sense. It's not clear if he did or not.
He's like, you don't know what I can do, because Batman's like, you can't just fix it, kind of thing.
And he's like, gets all defensive, of course. So then if we go forward.
We're just flipping through the pages.
Basically.
We don't remember all this.
They're mad. Really good expressions, actually, on this page. Except for this one. But it looks like he needs to take a shit. But they're basically talking to each other. And I really like how David Finch is very emotive in the eyes, specifically.
Oh, yeah.
He's really good at that.
I've noticed that some of his eyes are a bit bigger than, like, I guess I'm used to. But I think it's so that he's able to make, like, those facial muscles. Really show that expression a lot more.
Yeah, I'm definitely cool with it.
Definitely cool.
And so, basically from there, there's another bombing that happens, and now Batman doesn't have a Batmobile, so he gets these bat wings
to fly off, and then I guess Duke connects the dots. I guess all the soldiers have these dog tags, and all their serial numbers add up to 24, and 24th letter in the alphabet is X, and that refers to
Amanda Waller.
Why does it refer to Amanda Waller again?
Because she's the leader of Task Force X.
That's right.
Which is Suicide Squad.
I'm like, Suicide Squad doesn't start
so
with
now
X.
It's like, this is kind of a fun scene too. So then it moves to Amanda Waller talking to General Lane, and they're talking about Task Force X, and they're actually under Gotham, under like 100 feet of concrete. There's only like one way to get in, of course. And
he's
General
like,
Lane's talking about how
there.
Secure it is and how Batman will never get there, and then Batman's behind him. So that's pretty fun.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. So Batman's there, and now he's talking to Amanda Waller, basically.
He's like, what's going on?
I can't remember what they found out, but
it's,
I think Amanda,
like,
Waller basically just said
he's not, like, doing a good enough job protecting Gotham, so they're, like, butting in. You try to get Hugo Strange and Psycho Pirate to fix it, because I guess they're part of the team or something.
Yeah.
But then
so
they
she knows
going,
that,
like, rogue on him.
She knows that Psycho Pirate and Hugo Strange are kind of behind this.
Right.
So that's where he gets that info, I guess.
Yeah. And then 10 minutes later, Batman...
I guess.
Batman's out from the miles of concrete and finds Gotham, like, holding this this soldier, and I guess he's doing that. He's holding him because he's going to kill him, because I guess
maybe he wants more info.
No. What happened was that I guess they talked about masks earlier in the run.
Oh yeah,
and how they are uncomfortable, and then I guess Gotham took off his mask to scratch an itch or something, and then I guess this dude that he's holding took a picture of him, ran it through the Suicide Squad database, and found out who he was, found his parents, and then ended up killing his parents. But there is not, like, a panel for that. There's not any pages.
Oh,
they
weird.
Just kind of tell you that.
Are they dead somewhere in here? Or
no,
no, he's
just, last time
he's
you
just
saw
trying
him
to kill them.
Oh, wait, that's them right there. Oh, they're on the ground. Oh, we missed that.
That sucks.
I thought they were just random bodies.
Okay, well, I would be mad, I guess.
I'm sorry, Tom King. I thought you robbed us of something.
Yeah. But so then... Okay, so Gotham's mad, obviously.
Gotham's mad.
And Batman's trying to talk him out of killing this guy that he's very clearly about to kill. He actually does end up snapping his neck. It doesn't look like it's very snaps to me. There's a snap.
Maybe
there.
Cracks his neck for him? Some chiropractor going on?
But, so now he's dead, and then Batman tries to fight him, basically.
That goes as well as you'd think. Throws him out of a building. Or throws him through a wall, and then he jumps out the building. End of issue 4. Alright, we're cruising. How are we doing on time?
49 minutes.
We don't have a time limit. Let's do
that. Nah, not really. We're just going to kind of see how this goes. So issue 5.
This is a great cover.
Of 6. Yeah, there was a lot of really interesting covers. There was a alternate cover for all of these that were done by Tim Sale.
Oh, okay.
And
he does, like, the Batman animated series stuff. Mm-hmm. Or he's, like, one of the kind of OG
Tim
Batman
Sale did, like, the Long Halloween
Okay.
With Jeff Loeb. He does a lot of stuff with Jeff Loeb. He did like Spider-Man Blue.
Oh, I just read that. It's good.
Yeah. So that Tim Sale did like a bunch of like Batman variants for all of these.
Cool.
For the first run, which is cool. And I think I ended up picking up a bunch of them as this run kept going. So
I guess I can't remember how they got to it. It's not really that important, but Gotham comes to the conclusion that the problem is not
the city.
The problem is the city, like the city of Gotham. So he goes to like destroy Gotham. So he goes to this like Times Square looking area.
He's like, man, I should have picked a better name.
Gotham's gonna
now
destroy
Gotham's
Gotham.
The problem. But so now he's in the middle of what looks like Times Square, I guess.
Or
whatever this is in New York, with the staircase that goes up to whatever.
I think that's it, yeah.
Times Square?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's there.
Batman's still on the ground, I guess.
Yep. And he's so coming. He recruits Alfred to go into the bat suit and run him over and act as Batman and run him over with the Batmobile.
He looks great.
I love this scene.
He does not fill out the costume.
Yeah.
His mustache is showing.
He's very pissed about this whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a great monologue as he's driving to run into him. He's like, how did I find myself here?
Sure, Thomas, I'll watch Bruce Wayne. He's the best. We'll just
play board games.
Play board games.
And then he runs over Gotham,
the
and
Batman,
then he gets out, and he's acting like he's gonna square up, and then Batman says he's there, and then then Alfred runs away.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Batman. He's like, you're not Batman. He's like, yes, I am.
I'm Batman. I'm gonna beat you up. He's like, you're not Batman.
Batman comes, kicks him in the throat.
Classic.
It's the worst.
Does the classic throw some batarangs and it hits him, but then they explode, so that does some more damage.
Exploding batarangs.
So that's smart Batman planning beforehand. We still see Gotham Girl here with Duke, kind of watching all this transpire.
In the Batcave.
She's obviously a little unstable.
She's freaked out. They're fighting. Are they fighting? No, Batman runs. Oh, and then he throws like the bat plane.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll call it the bat wing because that's what it is. and
so he
throws it at Gotham, explodes, pretty cool.
So Batwing crashes into him, and Batman's still running away, but Gotham survives.
Oh, so a million things went through my head at the bottom of this page. It's like, I need you to get on the bat phone, make the call. And then he's like, sir, you're never in Gotham, sir. And then he's like, are you certain? And he's like, yes, Alfred. And so he like makes the call. I'm like, is he about to drop a nuke or something? I don't know.
Yeah, he's going to drop a nuke.
Yeah, I got him. That'll
a bat nuke.
Gotham is freaking out.
He's just calling the Justice League.
Well, spoilers. Exactly. So Gotham goes freaking out. Another page of that. And then.
So.
And then Gotham's about to laser him. And then he's stopped by the Flash, punches him, and then the lasers still go, stopped by Green Lantern's shield thingy.
This is a fun sequence before Green Lantern stops him. Gotham goes up to Batman and he said, I tried to save Gotham. Batman says, I know. But it's just, you just can't save it, basically. And Batman's like, I know. And he says, goodbye, Batman. He says, goodbye. And then, all of a sudden, he gets hit by what I assume is either Superman or the Flash, because there's like a blur.
Nah, there's blue in there. Might be
Superman.
Yeah,
it's probably Superman.
Why can't the Flash do anything?
I don't know.
Superman's got to do everything.
He's there. And then he almost gets lasered, but Green Lantern stops him, and there's the Justice League.
He's like, hey, we're here to stop you.
It's the just typical New 52 Justice League from what it looks like. So.
No, it's like the Rebirth Justice League.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it's got like the two lanterns.
It's got the two lanterns, yeah. Jessica Cruz and the other one.
Was it Gus or something?
No. I should know it.
Damn. Fake fan.
I gotta look it up.
Don't look it up.
Simon Bass, I got it.
I'm like, we can do this. I was getting there.
So
he's fighting the Justice League, tearing him up.
And, you know, he is tearing him up because this is where Batman realizes that, like, he's kind of stepping it up a little bit and that he can step it up, because before Batman was just fighting him, but now he's fighting Superman. And this is where you find out that they have the ability to control how powerful they are, and they can go up to like God level essentially. But this is where we find out that their powers are killing them the more they use them. So that typical trope.
Is that typical though?
I mean, I feel like I see that all the time.
So it's like they could be normal and not use their powers and live a lot longer, or like
they could
do a lot of stuff and it'll like kill them eventually.
Yeah.
It reminded me of this character in Invincible. It was called like Monster Girl. Mm-hmm. And there's this girl who like you know, she was like maybe like 20 or 30, but she was like a 13-year-old, and she like would Hulk out basically. But mm-hmm. whenever she did that and fought crime or whatever, she would like get younger. Mm. And so that was like kind of her.
That's funny.
Her actually. Thing or whatever. It was like kind of cool. It was really big for storyline. It was like a romantic relationship and just socially.
The other time I've seen it is Jane Foster Thor, but that one's a little bit different because she has cancer. And she's doing like chemo and it's working, but every time she turns into Thor, it like undoes the chemo. So she's not, she's dying because she's using her power, but she's not dying because she's using her power. If that makes sense.
Perfect.
Yep. Damn, I did that. Okay. So yeah, Gotham is killing himself. He punches everybody and they punch him real good.
Yeah, he's like doing pretty well against like the Seven.
It's a really fun action scene, actually. So David Finch is really good there.
They're just like, Gotham fights Justice League, go.
Yep.
You got two pages.
I'm sure that's what Tom King said, yeah.
And then while this is all going on, Duke's like trying to calm down Gotham Girl, and then she's like, I can be brave or whatever, and then she goes in there. Batman's like, all right, I'm Gotham. Like, I'm the problem. Or whatever. If you want to destroy something, destroy me.
And Gotham's then like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, it's
true. Fuck with that.
Yeah, and then right before he socks him, Gotham Girl comes, swoops up, and grabs him. And they really don't do much. She just slams him in the ground, and then he's dead.
Yep. So that sucks. So yeah, now Gotham is dead because he uses power too much. But Gotham Girl,
she's sitting pretty at the moment.
She's doing good. Until she goes into the next issue, and she Britney Spears herself.
You know, this is a good look.
So, getting to issue 6.
She's losing it.
Is losing her mind. Apparently, Psycho Pirate got to her. I don't remember when that happened.
No, they got both of them, because like she was talking about how scared she was. That was like the emotion that he was.
But we don't ever see Gotham.
Isn't it like it's like a ray or something where he's twiddling his fingers? He's like,
what does he have to do to activate it? Like, see like their eyes or something?
I think, I don't know. I guess being close proximity, I guess. Mm. So it's like you be scared, and then that's what made, I don't know if we said like what makes Gotham go crazy is that Psycho Pirate made him mad.
Yeah. We know that's the cause of everything, and that was ultimately his undoing because he was acting all crazy. But so I guess Gotham Girl is just scared, and she shaves her head for some reason.
So she's like losing it. She still talks to Gotham. She calls him Hank in this.
Yeah.
Henry. I had to look that up. I'm like, what was his name again? Because I thought Hank was someone else. But then she talks to herself. She shaves her head. She fights like random, like all these like C level, I don't know, even lower villains.
I love
Colonel him. Blimp.
Colonel Blimp. He stole a submarine.
Again.
And he's like, I want $1 million. Again. Yeah. He figured it out this time.
And then she's just fighting all these people with, like, no effort.
There's the pirate dude that comes up a little bit later.
That can't be, like, an actual villain, though.
It might be. So.
And then, like.
Batman's still watching her, I guess?
Yeah, Duke's watching her, and he's like, Batman, she's crazy, and she's losing it.
This insane double spread. Or double page spread.
This is okay. I don't know if you've ever tried drawing a building before or like using that many straight lines, but it's a pain in the dick. There's like 50 here.
Yeah, in the art class I took, I figured out how to draw two buildings between each other. And this is a whole cityscape. Colored beautifully.
At an angle. It's not just dead on.
It's like looking up at Gotham Girl, but still looking down at the city. So like the horizon line like is just like somewhere in the middle there. And it's just drawn so well. I don't know. I love it.
This was Ivan Reis?
Yep.
Reis?
Ivan Reis. He did a lot of the...
I've seen him before.
He's in Superman now, but he did a lot of the Green Lantern run that I like with Geoff Johns.
Oh, no way. Okay.
So, I'm a big fan of him.
She's still talking to Hank, and then Captain Stingery. Stingery?
Stingery. Sure. Yep. So basically his deal is that he thinks his family is Batman, all of them, and he makes them walk the plank off of buildings because he's a modern
great
pirate.
Origin.
He looks like a great pirate. He's got a magnum gun thing. He's got an eye patch. He's bald, but he's got a beard.
He just like purple. Didn't take his meds. That's just how he normally dresses.
I guess so. But yeah.
like just an entire villain, a character that could be portrayed like multiple times or just brought back, and like his only origin is like he didn't take meds.
Classic. There's a lot of depth with this character. Clearly,
there's such dope dialogue with it. He's like, "Shiver me timbers!" Like when that Gotham girl comes.
Yeah, ahoy, me hearties. Like this must have been really fun for Tom King to write.
Which E Batman is to be next?
He's making them walk off the plank, which is a 2x4 he set up on a building,
which does not work out leverage wise. I don't think.
I don't know. He rigged it up to make it work.
We're just looking
but basically he makes the first person walk off, but he's not dead because Gotham Girl saved him.
Perfect.
Great.
And then Batman's there.
After.
You know, and then she's like, hey, I can help. And she's like, it's basically just like she's losing it because she misses Gotham a lot, which is understandable. I don't know.
Batman's this talking is like a normal,
like, I don't know, mourning technique. Or something that people do to cope with loss, but
like stop pirates.
No,
or talk to
them. Talk to the person.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, maybe I don't know.
Have you thought about talking to a pirate?
I really think stopping pirates was going to help me with the death of my brother.
I just kept writing Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah,
did not help.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a good way to show us what's going through her head, still talking to Gotham, even though he's dead. Then Batman intervenes and just basically tells about a bunch of the demons that he's gone through. So basically, at the end of this altercation, he reveals himself as Bruce Wayne. Keep going through.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry. I wasn't following what you're doing. Wait, hold on.
Nope, it's there. It's here somewhere.
Oh wait, no.
Well, before that happens,
she ran off.
She runs off. Yeah.
This is so refreshing because I thought this would come way later, but it's a scene where Kite Man comes.
Tom King's first bat or Kite Man.
His first appearance of Kite Man in the Tom King run. He like jumps in a building, steals some pearls, jumps out the other end of the window
to fly away with his kite. It's actually a cool looking page.
Yeah.
His first great. Hell yeah. That's Kite Man's thing. Kite Man hell yeah. And then Gotham Girl stops him,
and then Batman's like gets her attention.
That's the bat signal.
The bat signal on her.
Symbolic.
I was about to say the bat light. So dumb. he calms her down again or whatever.
Then
no one understands really. Helping Gotham.
Like,
makes
I understand.
Her, oh, she's like helping Gotham makes it hurt less. And so that's why she's like saved the day. So I guess it's not the worst.
I mean, superhero. That's kind of what Batman does, I guess. And so he relates to her in that way and then reveals himself as Bruce Wayne. His, my parents were murdered, and that kind of sucks too. So I get that. And
then there's like another one of these, I know sequences where it's like, I don't feel good. It's like, I know. I miss him. I know. It's like, I just miss him. It's like, I know.
It's and a nice then, little moment. And then we're back in Amanda Waller's office for some reason, basically explaining that Bane is behind this. He's the one that hired Hugo, I guess.
Yeah, and so Psycho Pirate is now in Santa Prisca with him, and they're doing all kinds of bad stuff.
And Batman needs to go get him or something.
Yep, and then Amanda Waller's talking about how hard it's going to be and how it's... I would suicide.
Might have suicide. Yeah. So that sets up Night of the Monster Men, which Tom King isn't really a part of, but then he gets back to it with I Am Suicide the next.
I like how, okay, so I don't think this is necessarily normal. They're like, next, Night of the Monster Men. And then it's like, and then.
Yeah.
I Am Suicide. Don't worry. If you don't like this, it'll definitely get better.
Like, we're continuing this story and I Am Suicide. Just
this we Night have of the Monster to Men do thing this, happened, but so. The actual thing that actually relates to this is this.
Yeah, it's so weird. It feels like Tom King like wasn't on par with this Night of the Monster Men thing, but he just, I don't know, he's a class guy, so he never really says that.
Right, yeah, I think you probably can't necessarily say what...
I don't think he was able to avoid it necessarily.
You can't like talk badly about this publishing company that pays you and you have a contract with.
I think there's a clause in their contract actually that they can't talk shit about other creators. I think I've heard that.
Oh, just like in general, like mm-hmm. It could be like some Marvel creator.
Yep. Mm. So that was the first trade. I think it's really good. It's just a simple way to start it. The rest of Tom King's run, which goes through issue 85, which I've read all of them. I mean, they're all pretty simple, but the way that they all work together at the end is kind of complex. So going to just like a more simple start, I think, is really refreshing.
Yeah, it definitely ramps up in complexity and like kind of length. Like the there's like a story arc. It's like the War of Jokes and Riddles,
mm-hmm.
and that was like 9 issues. I think
it was 12.
12 issues.
It might have been, yeah.
Probably, honestly.
I think he initially wanted that to be him and Mitch Gerards in its own series, but I guess they
that
liked it.
Dope.
Yeah, and I guess they liked it enough to where they put it in just his run.
Yeah, because that was an idea he's had for a long time, I guess. I can't remember where I heard that, but...
Yeah, that's the thing that happens. It's pretty complicated, but...
Cool, so that's Batman Volume 1 from 2016.
Read it.
Series, read it. If you like Batman, or I guess if you don't like our explanation of it, you can read it.
I think our explanation is the best way to experience what that was. Don't look at David Finch's amazing art or Jordi Belair's.
There's no better words to express.
Who letters? Who letters?
It's like, it changes.
Is it like
Hope and Prado and who's on this one? Hope again.
Okay.
Danny Meekie, I've seen
before. I think he's the inker.
Wait, what are you asking?
I was asking for the letterer, but I think Meekie is a inker.
Yeah, it's anyway. I saw one, it was like some dude named Workman or whatever. So,
yep, so killer team.
I don't ever really remember letterers.
I try to. They do things too.
Other than like Russ Wooten, he does like everything for, I think, like Robert Kirkman.
Mm.
But...
Nice.
Anyway, what else we got here?
So, that's the book, and we're going to close out the show, but we're going to do just
a little segment
where we're being hypocrites and talking about the weekly books that we're actually reading.
Oh,
so, the pull list.
Even more than we have already.
Yeah, even more.
So, this is a weird week, because this week, Diamonds, the distributor, didn't ship any. So... I remember like the local comic shop here, Ash Avenue Comics, they said like the first time in 17 years they haven't had new books on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which is nuts. So, I don't know. What do they think they're helping? Like
Diamond?
It's like, oh, there's germs on the pages and then the pages are shipped out.
I don't know.
It's probably a worker kind of thing. Like, they don't want their workers doing stuff.
If their worker is in contact with somebody, they're going all over the place. So I think in an effort to just stop spreading, if there is a chance that one of the workers gets coronavirus, I think in general it makes sense. What I'm impressed with is that Marvel and DC stopped the digital release of the books. In an effort to stop people from buying digitally rather than supporting comic shops, which I think is really cool.
I can respect that.
Because comic shops, you know, need help probably at this time.
There's backbone.
Yep, so... that's cool.
But I watched the movie Contagion, so I know how disease works now.
Okay.
And
that's good.
And there's, I guess, what their issue was, or what something they were able to count on, is that like touching stuff, it only, like if I touch like on this desk, but the germ's only going to be there for like, I don't know, a couple minutes, I guess, or a couple hours.
Oh, this is a virus,
though. It goes benign. It was the same thing. It was a virus in the movie.
Okay.
I think. It was like a flu. It was just like another flu.
Germs and viruses aren't the same thing.
Yeah, germs cause viruses.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay, cool.
Gotcha.
I don't know. But...
Watch it.
So they've stopped the distribution of comics for a while.
So what'd you get last week?
So I got a bunch of stuff last week, but I've been reading all sorts of stuff. Because I'm trying to catch up. So right now I'm reading a lot of X-Men stuff, which has been really good.
Like all the...
Hickman
stuff?
Yep.
Okay.
Still
confused?
So I'm pretty notorious with saying that I don't really like Hickman a whole lot because he confuses me. He is very notorious for introducing just a million new concepts in each book and then expects you to like remember that. So like just 100 new things he'll introduce in each issue, and he still does that, but I'm able to follow it because it's around the X-Men, and so I kind of understand what's going on. He still introduces a lot of new stuff, but a lot of the new stuff you don't really have to remember. He'll like explain it to you again.
Okay.
So basically I'm reading X-Men, which has been really good. So they started the new nation of Krakoa, so all of the mutants are allowed there. There's even, like, Apocalypse walking around, and, like, Sabretooth is there, and, like, all these different villains, they're living there together, and this island was orchestrated by Xavier and Magneto. And so it's also interesting because they have a method of resurrection. So if an X-Men dies, Charles Xavier is wearing this, like, big helmet, basically, that's a big Cerebro. And he takes copies of every single mutant and basically makes, like, a backup of, like, all their thoughts and all their feelings at that, like, specific time. And so if somebody dies now, there's a team of mutants of, like, Jean Grey and, like, all these, like, there's, like, a selected few that will be able to bring them back together. And they do that every so often. It's kind of crazy.
Great. And no one can die. No stakes. It's lovely.
No. Because it takes a while. They explain it really well. But then also there's this idea of, like, this mutant plant is, like, good at curing diseases. And they use that as leverage to try and, like, become a recognized nation with, like, the United Nations. And so Krakoa is, like, its own nation now. And they are distributing, like, some of these drugs around to make the world a better place and help people, like, accept them. It's a lot of information, but I've been really enjoying it. And I do recommend it. So I've been reading X-Men and X-Force. Has been amazing.
Really? Is that... what's his name as well?
That's not Hickman. That's Benjamin Percy. And
really? Okay.
And I don't amazing think I read artist that
Stuck out to me, but
he was great. At least in that series, it's focused on, like, Domino a lot. Okay. The idea there is that she got captured and, like, skinned basically, and they're using her skin to, like, graft it onto other assassins, and so they're getting really lucky with assassinating people.
That's kind of whack.
It's
a concept.
It's kind of cool, but as she's killing them, she's getting her luck back. So she's not, like, as lucky as she's trying to go and, like, get them back. At least
Did she take the skin back?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I think it just allows her to heal herself easier.
You know, as a concept, it doesn't sound great. But I think I'm sure it's executed well.
Well, the X-Force opens with Charles Xavier getting murdered.
Wow.
He gets assassinated on Krakoa. They don't even put that in the main book. Actually, the second issue of X-Men, there was, like, a little recap. And it was, like, after Charles Xavier got murdered. And I was like, what? When did that happen? And so I went to my coworker, Ryan, who's only reading, like, X-Men stuff right now. And I was like, Charles Xavier got murdered and is not even in the main X-Men book? He's like, oh, yeah, that happened in X-Force. And so he let me read X-Force. And it's really good. The artist on there is, like, he blows me away every issue. Artists and the colorists together. They're just amazing. I wish I brought over some issues to show you, but other X-Men books... X-Men and Fantastic Four by Chip Zdarsky and Terry Dodson.
So Zdarsky's on X-Men as well? Or just Fantastic Four?
The series is called X-Men Fantastic Four.
Oh, okay.
So that's its own issue.
That sounds... is it good? Is it, like, very...
It's fun.
Zdarsky?
It's basically, like, the idea is that Reed and Sue's kid... he was born with powers, so he's technically classified as a mutant, and he has a gene, and he's an Omega-level mutant.
Yeah, dude, he's a bad bitch.
Yeah, he's super powerful, obviously, because he did a bunch of Secret War stuff. But
when you look at those, like, I remember they're just making planets at the end of that.
Yeah.
Was so wack.
And universes.
But yeah, if you look at those, like, crazy lists, it's like 10 most powerful superheroes or whatever, he's like 4.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
Yep, so he's Omega-level, and obviously they want him to be part of Krakoa. And he wants to be part of Krakoa, but his powers aren't working as well as they normally do. And he doesn't think that his father is putting everything in place that he can to actually fix him. And he also blocks his X gene so that he can't go through these, like, Krakoan portals that'll just take you straight to Krakoa. Only mutants can go through those because they have the X gene.
So he's stopping the X gene somehow.
So Reed
himself, or Reed's doing that?
Reed put something in place to where Krakoa won't recognize him as a mutant. And so that's kind of fucked up, obviously.
Reed won't recognize Reed or his son?
Reed put something in place to where his son won't be recognized as a mutant to go through these portals.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And so that's obviously fucked up. So the kid is on the side of the X-Men, but, you know, X-Men and Fantastic Four are fighting, basically, over the sun. and they're not putting into perspective like what he wants.
Is
obviously.
It a versus kind of book?
In a way.
Huh. All right.
Yeah. I like it, but other books, I'm just going to stick with those for right now.
Okay.
Just because I talk a lot, but
I picked up a bunch of stuff. Like, I have, like, a bunch of stuff that I've been picking up, like, over the last couple months that I just, like, haven't gotten the new issues of because I didn't necessarily love it, but just with, like, how slow I know, like, some comic shops are, I just got, like, everything. Like, you remember, like, Superman Up in the Sky? Like, I got, like, all the issues of that.
That's good. That's Tom King.
Yeah, yeah. I love Tom King, and so it's Adam pretty Huber. Good.
Oh, I'm also getting Wolverine, which is another X book. Amazing.
Okay. Who writes that?
That's also
Ben Percy,
but it's Adam Kubert, the guy that did Up in the Sky, is doing Wolverine.
Andy Kubert. Okay, nice.
I don't know if it's Adam or Andy, but yeah, Andy, and he's insane.
Yeah, he's like basically like
he's a legend for sure.
A legend and like Batman and stuff like that.
I don't think he's going to continue on the series just because he's cranking out work that's insane.
Because he did, he was just doing a bunch of like Superman stuff with Bendis, and so okay.
Yeah, so he's on that now. That's another X book, but anyway.
So what I'm most excited about is Family Tree by Jeff Lemire. Are you reading that?
I am.
It's awesome.
It's great.
It's pretty like a simple concept. Like this, like the daughter is like this family, and the daughter like starts like, I don't know, turning into a tree. I did not think it was going to... I thought it was going to be some depressing family book because like Jeff Lemire. But no, she's like a branch like growing out of like her back or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like trying to figure out what's happening. But I guess their grandpa that they haven't talked to like knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm missing like three. I have three, missing four. And then five is supposed to come out today. Or
did
yesterday.
Four come out?
I think four is out, yeah.
Okay. I've read one through three for sure, so...
Okay, so, and, yeah, I like that a lot. I'm really excited to see where that goes.
And it turns out... Actually, I won't spoil it.
Yeah, thank you. I've read one through two, so I basically know nothing.
It's great. Jeff Lemire, he's the man. He cranks out a ridiculous amount of books.
I love his shit. It's
and
awesome.
It's all good. It's all quality. And then Phil Lester...
Hester
is doing the art.
Okay.
He's great.
I don't think I necessarily remembered that, but so I've been reading that. Oh, I caught up on Gideon Falls. Mm-hmm. I was behind by like 10 issues.
I had to drop out, so I don't even know where I am.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's worth just figure out what you have, and then it flows so well. It's like one of the easiest books to binge,
really?
Honestly. Yeah, like if you just...
Another Jeff Lemire book?
Another Jeff Lemire book.
Andrea Sorrentino does the art. He's amazing.
Yeah, awesome.
He's one of the trippiest artists.
Definitely.
But
and it just keeps going, and somehow it's like issue like 24 or something, and you still have no idea what's going on, and you don't know where it's going.
Cool.
So yeah, that was really satisfying to catch up on that. And so that's basically it. And then we read this, so
cool.
I think this went pretty well.
Yeah. I'll reveal more of what I'm reading as I remember. Green Lantern's one I'm reading. That's Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp right now. Who follows me on Twitter?
Liam Sharp?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you even post anything?
He likes my tweets.
Okay. So did I didn't realize I was still going on. That's cool.
It's season two now. They're doing it in seasons, I guess. So they had 12 issues of Green Lantern.
Like a break, basically.
Yeah. I think I love it.
That works.
So it was 12 issues. And then they did Green Lantern Black Stars, which was like a little mini series in between there. And now they're starting season two, and I think it's awesome. It's basically like Grant Morrison-esque like cop stories. Like every issue is like a different sort of like noir sort of idea, almost like a CSI, like Criminal Minds. Like every issue
so
is
space
like,
cop.
Yeah,
that's dope.
Yeah.
That's all I'd want out of the Green Lantern book.
He's going to different like planets and like.
So
witnessing all these trippy things. That
so I should read it, even though I don't read Green Lantern at all.
It's hard. I think you should, but just know that like a lot of time you may not understand what's going on.
Okay, fair enough.
But the Liam Sharp is like the most detailed artist I've ever seen, and it's fascinating to see the stuff that he does.
Okay.
So I really like his Green Lantern. I really like how he draws everybody else. There's a lot of really crazy alien Green Lanterns. Like
the funnest part.
Yeah, it is. There's one that's like a volcano that's like erupting. And like every time he like tries to enunciate something with an R, it's like a rumble.
That's so fucking dumb.
It's like green. Like it does like a rumble. It's so funny.
It's got that.
Yeah. Basically, like, and
it's
like,
a Latino.
It goes into volcano. Like the lettering to like it looks like things are rumbling. It's hilarious. He's like he's like one of my new favorite ones. So like, yeah, that's good.
The best one is like just like this random like squirrel.
Oh, there's Chip or Bedig. There's two squirrels. Chip. Chip, I have a pop of.
I got you that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
I'm like, this is dope.
I should be getting an Alan Scott pop in pretty soon.
Oh, is that the like the OG one? Like
The one
the weakest high world. Collar? Mm-hmm. Nice. That's sweet.
Yep. And he's gay now.
Really?
I guess. Okay. In Earth 2, at least, he was gay, which is cool.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was our pull list. I think that's what we'll call it.
I guess I should also say I'm still reading Batman.
Okay.
It's on issue 91. It's all right. I'll probably see how this arc ends. I think 92 is going to end the arc. Okay. Jorge Jimenez is on it right now. He's like my main crush.
He's beautiful.
He's a beautiful man and does...
There's got to be something wrong with
him. He looks like Superman.
He's got to have a lisp or something.
There's got to be something wrong with him. I need to know.
Maybe he's got a small penis, something like that. No one can look that great, be that buff, and be that amazing at art.
And have a huge dick at the same time.
Right, yeah. There's got to be a flaw.
There's no way. I'm still looking for a flaw, but he's amazing and he's on the book right now. So that's good.
Nice.
Yeah, that's our pull list.
Okay.
For now. So now... Let's figure out what our next episode is going to be.
I think like next Thursday.
Well, I mean, yeah. I assume that's when we'll record, but what is it going to be on?
So we read this when it came out. So maybe something both of us haven't read. Maybe that would be a little bit of
a new thing for us.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like
we
read it then, not have read it now.
We did a DC.
Definitely a different publisher.
A Marvel, you think, or... There's some Marvel things that are good that I haven't read.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. What comes to mind? Should we do, like, their, like, A-lister? Like, do, like, a Spider-Man one?
Maybe. A Spider-Man would be good. Daredevil also came to mind. Maybe, like, a Frank Miller Born Again I've never read.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That'd be a good one. Yeah. Is that the... That's that... Yeah, yeah. I have that on... I have that trade, so...
You have it?
Like digitally,
cool. That's fine.
Okay, so yeah, let's do that.
Okay, is that Miller Born Again?
I hope that's not long.
I don't know how long it is.
I hear that's like.
I think it's only like six
issues. What do they call it? It's like the main like story arc for that character. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, that's like the one of the defining ones.
Defining story arcs. Iconic. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm excited now.
Yep. So
then maybe
they base the show off of it as well.
Fuck yeah, that's like one of my favorite shows.
So, yeah, that's the Frank Miller, David Mazzucchelli. I've seen his stuff from what people are like tweeting, and it's bonkers. It's great.
Nice. Some independent publisher like next week?
Probably.
Okay, we'll figure that out next week. Cool.
Daredevil Born Again, next episode. Never read it. It's one of those things that I know I need to read. And
like I bought it like 3 years ago, honestly.
I might have it.
There was like a sale.
I might have it on Comixology too. Okay. And I don't know. I don't have an outro. So.
Well, thank you everybody for listening to Trade Waiters. Once again, I'm Daniel Antividad. This is my co-host.
Nathan.
Say your name.
I think we're both co-hosts. I wouldn't say that you're the host.
I'm definitely the lead host.
This is on my computer. I want to be clear.
These are my microphones. I want to make that even more clear.
It's about a 50-50.
I brought my books today. Anyway, yeah.
Sorry. I brought mine. There's digital.
Shake. anyway, so...
So, yeah.
You can email us. Do you have an email?
We do have an email. Okay. TradeWaitersPod@gmail.com.
Perfect.
If you want to do that.
You can follow me on Instagram, The Real Daniel Antividad. And then, what's yours?
No idea.
I follow him. You'll probably find it. He's tagged in my stuff.
Yep.
Follow
us.
I don't really tweet or anything.
I don't know what platforms is going to be on to start, but
it's like Apple Music. It's Apple like what Music. We can put it up.
I'm going to try and put it on like Podbean and stuff like that.
Why don't we tell them how to listen to it?
I don't know.
They are listening to it. At this point, they figured it out.
Well, I think a lot of people will prefer to do Spotify, and I know that we're not going to be able to do Spotify right off the get-go.
We are trying to figure out Spotify. It's a process. That is where we'd like to be, but you know, gotta start somewhere.
Yep. So growing pains, but thank you everybody for listening.
I doubt anyone got this far.
Absolutely not. All right. Bye.
All right, later.